It took much of the night, but there's a grand plan on the table to save the Eurozone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European leaders have agreed to measures that will ease the European debt crisis. For one, investors have voluntarily agreed to take a 50% loss on their investments in Greek debt. Now, taking those losses will mean that European banks will also be required to raise more money to strengthen their balance sheets. And the Eurozone's main bailout fund will increase its capacity to $1.4 trillion. The BBC's Andrew Walker is with us now from Brussels with the latest. Hey, Andrew.
Hello there.
Will this be enough, do you think, to save the Eurozone?
It'll certainly make a big difference in the short term. But there's an awful lot of detail that needs to be filled in, a lot of it highly technical. And I have to say, an awful lot of people think that even more firepower, more financial firepower, would have been a great deal more convincing. Some people think that what it really needs is to get the European Central Bank explicitly involved as a lender to the bailout agency, which would then lend on to governments. That, however, is very unpopular in Germany, and so it's not being agreed.
What's been the reaction, besides what you said about Germany, across Europe this morning?
Financial markets have certainly taken it very well. There's been a marked rise in most share prices. I think across the European Union there's a degree of relief that some deal has been done. But I think inevitably people are going to start asking questions about what the detail really is, whether it is a durable solution to Europe's problems or just a temporary stopgap.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in Brussels. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure.
And all this week, we're helping you understand why Greece is such a threat to the global economy, why you should care. Today, young Greeks say there aren't many work prospects at home, so some decide to come to the United States. But the jobless rate is high here, too. That's why some Greek nationals in New York feel torn about whether to encourage their friends back home to come join them. Sally Herships explains.
Ellen Athena Katsakeas is Greek-American. Born here, high school there, college here. After graduating in the mid-90s, Katsakeas wasn't able to break into the film business. At the time, Greece was booming, so she went back.
We all actually had a very good quality of life. It wasn't too shabby to be able to, you know, go to Greek islands for the weekend, you know.
But 10 glorious years later, the money started drying up. Katsakeas had been working as a freelance film director.
What seemed to be a system that worked, you know, you might wait 2 or 3 months for your pay, but you knew you were going to get it. Suddenly you were up against companies that were maybe paying 6 months down the line, 7 months down the line.
So she packed up her bags and headed for her second home, the States. Professionally, it's worked out for her, but she was sad to leave.
I think we all, when we went there, wanted to be a part of making Greece better. We all brought our degrees and our masters, or certain people brought their PhDs, and we wanted to reverse the brain drain. But I think the brain drain is happening again.
As evidenced by all the calls New York City resident Larissa Antipa is getting from her homeland. Would you tell people now to come here?
Ah, that's a tricky question.
Antipa first came to the States to study drama. Now she works at the Greek Cultural Center in Queens.
Sure, you can come to the United States, but don't think this is like, you know, heaven also, job-wise.
She says America was more promising 10 years ago when she arrived. Then you didn't need connections to find work. But now?
When you first come here and you don't know anybody, right now, at this moment, it's a big, big difference not knowing anybody and trying to find a job.
And Ellen Katsakeas agrees with Antipa. She says, except for people who are willing to take big steps back in their careers, America may no longer be the promised land. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are much higher on the news of that grand Eurozone plan. Asian shares were up today. Game maker Nintendo today reported big losses, worse than expected for its last 6 months, partly blamed on a stronger yen, which cuts into its income in markets outside of Japan. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was up 162 points to end the day at 11,869.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk since 1923, combining drug discovery with technology to turn science into diabetes treatments at novonordisk-us.com. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2012 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Well, today is the first day of the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. There are $3 billion worth of giant boats and accessories on display at the South Florida show right now. Organizers expect tens of thousands to check out all the tricked-out yachts. From station WLRN in Miami, Kenny Malone reports.
Andrew Duhl is a lead organizer for the boat show. He's reluctant to call this an out-and-out yacht show.
We have a cross-section of boats that range from dinghies to $60, $80 million yachts.
But he'll also admit the big boats with fireplaces, libraries, and helicopter landing pads are the big draw.
From the engines that go in the boat to gold-plated bathroom fixtures, that's really everything you'd need for a super yacht.
Yachts have an $18 billion ripple effect on Florida's economy. Nikki Grossman heads up the Greater Fort Lauderdale Convention and Visitors Bureau. Can you tell when it's boat show time? I mean, do you see a lot more navy blue blazers or like docksider shoes? What is?
Well, these are people who are fit and they're tan and they look like they're here for a good time, and they certainly are. But they bring a great wealth of fun and excitement and, quite frankly, money.
Grossman says that by just hosting that wave of yacht lovers, Fort Lauderdale gets its own $400 million economic ripple effect. I'm Kenny Malone for Marketplace.
And finally, a man in Maine is celebrating 1,000,000 miles registered on his 1990 Honda Accord. Auto technician Joe LoCicero is the first documented Honda owner to hit that mark. He credits regular maintenance for the car's longevity. The automaker gave him a parade and a brand new 2012 Accord for reaching the milestone, although the analog odometer on the old car just turned from all nines to zeros, which is kind of like a new car anyway. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Anger and blame, even hatred, too.
The Greeks we do have is that if we don't feel threatened, we never react.
Our politicians, they are responsible.
It is our mentality that has brought us here. No.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The problems that plague Greece and the rest of Europe and why we ought to care. That's coming up next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.